Hello and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Were you all right? Yeah, that's good. Hannah, I couldn't remember what you said. Can you just come and repeat? As leader, you've got to keep repeating it because the amount of people then say, I never got the email. Oh, yes, I did. And all that kind of stuff happens, isn't it? So anyway, it's great to be here this morning. And the other thing I just want to just say that we're going to be carrying this, this series about leadership. And if you were at the beginning and we heard all these different encouragements and Hannah had on the screen those different kind of things that children and students have put on the wall for the prayer stations. Don't know if you noticed, but on the one for kind of asking questions, there was a few of them, if you ignored the Hibs and the Celtic ones, was actually saying of, why am I so ugly? I just think that in the sense of, you know, who's defined what somebody looks like? And I think that really fits in with kind of about leadership and fits in where we're going to be going this morning. And I think, Hannah, for you to be in the school and for children and students to actually put that out, and you said they came away feeling lighter and stuff, I just think that shows that actually you're in the right place. And I think that's a vitally important way of reaching students, particularly a lot of these students are totally unchurched. They've got no background. And I think just to have that opportunity, I think God's doing something there. And I think that's really, really exciting. So do you agree? If you don't agree, that's fine, but tough. Anyway, what we're going to be looking at this morning, just a kind of introduction, and it links in with the schools, because I used to go into schools in Guernsey to do drug education. It was a secular charity I was working for. But rather than just saying, don't do drugs, because that's a really pointless message going in, you would kind of try and help unpack with young people about actually life and choices. And so each year I would see about 3,500 students in the classroom. And one of the things I would often do is ask kind of icebreaker questions, get them to think about who they are, who they look to, and so on. And so I just want, at the beginning, just want to ask you two questions. I'm not going to go around with the mic asking you, because just down to constraints with times. But just to think about the first question, can you think of a well-known or famous negative role model? And I know which one you're probably thinking of right now, but actually students came up with loads, and particularly ones that were in the headlines at that particular time, sportsmen and women. There was Suarez that was biting people, was quite a big one if you're into football. But the one that kept coming out quite often was Hitler. I think he was quite a negative role model. Now, can you think of a famous or well-known positive role model, past or present? Okay. Jimmy Carter? Yeah, just been in. Sadly, a lot of the good stuff that someone's done in their life tends to happen after they've passed away. But the one that often came out, students really struggled to think of a positive kind of role model. But the one that often came out was the Queen, obviously, was alive at the time, and in the sense of the service to the country. And I don't think you'll be surprised whatsoever that it was much easier for students to come up with negative role models than it was to think about positive ones. And I think one of the reasons is we live in a broken world. We live in this world and actually I think about this in my own life as well, that the temptation for each and every one of us is to look in on ourselves, is to somehow put ourselves as number one. Our lives are more important than anyone else. Those things can creep in on us. And sadly, for the world around us, some people, when we talk about negative role models, tend to be loud and proud about their position as a leader. They wish to raise their profile and attract social media attention. They tend to use power and control to ensure no one threatens their position. I think a good example is probably someone called Donald Trump. at the moment in the sense of how he presents, and he's never at fault, and all those kind of things that come out. And if Trump is listening, no, he's not. All right, so what is really, really important this morning is the world needs more positive role models. That's what the world needs. And then to put it into context this morning, I'm going to focus specifically on role models, meaning leaders, okay? The world need more servant-hearted leaders, leaders that are more like Jesus, okay? That's what we want to see happen. So what does it mean to be a servant, to be like Jesus and be a servant leader? So I'm just going to read out in passage, and if you've got your Bibles with you, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28, or if you've got your phone with you, you can bring up a Bible app if you've got that. And this passage is actually just an introduction, is that Jesus is talking to the 12 disciples, okay? And so I'm just going to read this out. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for money." For many. It's because I saw that little card that says, where does money come from? Yeah, I know where it goes, but anyway. So the context of this story is the mother of James and John, which are two of the disciples, ask Jesus if her sons can sit to the left and the right of him in heaven, like these very, very prominent like positions. And the other disciples that heard that were slightly displeased by that. Okay, and in response, Jesus dismisses this worldly suggestion and points towards what we should all be like: to follow his way and to serve. As Jesus later demonstrated, the pinnacle of serving was giving up his life, so mankind has the opportunity to be adopted into his family. Okay, that's what the ultimate service that Jesus did for us. And today we're continuing this leadership series, and I'm looking at leaders that serve well. Okay, and before any of you disqualify yourselves by saying, "Well, I'm not a leader," I want to encourage you to keep tuned in, okay? Because at the very least, you're responsible for leading your own life. And that's the important place to start with. That's where you begin. And if you lead yourself well, others will begin to look in, okay? People want to be more like you. And I'm going to look at these two questions this morning. That's going to be the central theme to my message. And the first question is this. So question one, what does it mean to be a servant leader? Okay. So in this passage I've just read from the book of Matthew, there's a clear contrast drawn in this passage between leadership we may see in the world around us to the leadership that Jesus models for us and invites us to imitate and be like him. And the type of leadership we often kind of too often see in this world around us is that command and control. It's that bossing people around, being able to take credit for things, love the sound of their own voice, and blames others when things go wrong. And I just want to add this, sadly, this happens within the church, where in the news too often we hear about church leaders, whether they're known as pastors, priests, or ministers, have brought the reputation of the church, the good news of Jesus, into a dark place because of their horrific actions that built around this abuse and self-centered kind of leadership. Not only is it so wrong and evil, it is also points people away from Christ. Okay? It gives them that other reason to say, "I can't relate to this God." So leaders mainly fall into two categories. All right? They either build up or they knock down. And if you can think maybe in your current workplace, or maybe if you're retired, you can think back to when you were in the workplace, or maybe just in the situations growing up, you could probably think of people that were encouragers that helped build you up. And sadly, equally, you could probably think of people that knocked you down or discouraged you. And when you think about the differences, if you're knocked down and discouraged, does that help you grow? Not at all. Not at all. And what Lighthouse wants to be more like is Jesus. And Jesus is the pinnacle one that we look to, which is the one that built others up. He served. So let's focus on leaders building up, yeah? Let's not talk about the negatives so much. So leadership in the church should be what the gospel offers, okay? It offers this radical, different kind of narrative to what we see around us, okay? Whether that's online or social media, and we know we get bombarded constantly by what the world is saying around us. And it's the church, and if you're just wondering, the church, the building, we often say this, the church is not the bricks and mortar. It is you and I, okay? That are the carriers of the good news. And because we're the carriers of good news of Jesus, that can offer a beautiful picture of what healthy, servant-hearted leadership can and should look like. Okay? We are the carriers of the good news. So genuine, Jesus-centered, servant-hearted leadership, cool, I forgot to put commas in there, is attractive and draws people in. All right? So what does it mean for us to be the servant leader? So as it says in Matthew chapter 20, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's such a polar opposite to how leadership is modeled in the world around us. And as I said before, at Lighthouse, we want to keep learning what it is to be servant-hearted. Here's another example with Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 3 to 5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now this completely and utterly shocked the disciples. And even Peter kind of says, Don't do this, okay? But Jesus is modeling servant leadership. It's not about I'm reaching the top, okay? That's what kind of unhealthy ambition can take place. People say, I've got to get to the top because somehow I'm more important than anybody else. It's about helping people, a desire to see others thrive and grow, as well as teaching his disciples to imitate him. I'm just thinking, actually, I've just looked at Brooke, and we've sat on the bus the other morning, and just thinking, like, with Brooke's role in politics, you know, it's quite an easy role, isn't it, Brooke? Yeah, such a walk in the park. But when you hear Brooke speaking about what her passion is, it's like a desire to help people. It's a desire to serve people. And I don't know, at that point, maybe it's just God wants to just say, well done, just keep going. Keep going, it's a tough environment. And your Thursday morning didn't start very well when you had to sit next to me on the bus. I did wave at her and she just tried to walk past. I think I should have got the message then. All right. Anyway, so we are to imitate Christ. That's what we're about. Okay, so I was just thinking about this story. Many years ago, Kim and I were involved in leading youth ministry at a church we were involved in Guernsey. And part of that vision that we had for the young people, and I think it should be for every church anyway, was to see each and every young person that we came into contact with to hear about Christ and to grow in their relationship with Christ. And the young people that we had in the church, we formed small groups, and actually we called them relay groups. And they were led by adults, okay? And the important thing about relay groups, using the name, was using the image of a relay race that you see on the athletics track, all right? So the youth team of adults were obviously running the race, but it's that image of passing on the baton to the young people to keep on running. And the image continued, the leaders are like the person that handed over the baton. And you see it if you watch the Olympics or if you see it on telly, that you see that the person that's handed over the baton doesn't then just kind of go, well, my job's done, and then just walk off to the changing room and just think, well, whatever's happened has happened. You see them on the sidelines cheering them on. They're clapping, they're saying, keep going and keep going. And then they cheer at the end when the race is finished. And servant leadership is encouraging others with a strong desire to nurture, to support, to encourage, and rejoice in seeing others grow. That is healthy leadership. It's great when you can see people that may even go ahead of you. You rejoice in that. Leaders that knock others down can't stand the fact that somebody may get ahead of them. That should never, ever be in the life of the church. I rejoice when I see others go ahead of me. But I have to guard my heart that I don't get jealous and envious and go think, why have they done that? You know, God calls people to go further than where I am right now. And do you know what? That's okay. That's good. That's healthy when we see people grow, because what we're doing is encouraging and building them up. Okay? It's like in the garden. I'm not a gardener, all right? But I do know that if you plant young plants, you give them room to grow. You don't place them too close to well-established plants, because if you do that, you put them in the shade. And as you nurture the plants, you water them. And as you water them, in the context of our faith, that's about stirring up and encouraging others, then they grow into mature plants. All right, we don't put them in the shade with our type of leadership, in the words we use. You know, it's about building people up and seeing them grow and flourish. All right, we never want to be a roadblock to people growing in their faith. Are you still with me? That's good. And there's so many examples of how Jesus did this. Okay, one of the times he sent his disciples out two by two to go, and he gives a whole kind of instructions. What he's basically doing in these instructions is setting them boundaries of what to do and what not to do. Okay, and I haven't got time to look at this in great detail, but what I want to strongly urge and encourage you to do is to get into scripture and look at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just look at how Jesus communicates with his disciples, with his followers. Okay, not just the 12, there was a greater number of followers as well. See how he interacts. See what happens. The patience he had. All right? Look at those stories of how did he nurture and teach and encourage them to be like him. And for us, we need to be like Jesus. All right. And that can be a really, really simple thing. When you think, if you've got work tomorrow morning, your alarm goes off at whatever time, the last thing you may want to be thinking is, I need to be more like Jesus today. You're going to be thinking, I can't believe it's that time, the start of the week again. Our direction of thought can drift very, very quickly. But actually, what we need to do is be firmly rooted in the truth that God loves us. And the very fact is, I want to imitate that love and be an example to others in my workplace, in my home, for our young people in their schools, and so on and so on. All right. So how do we do that in our everyday? And this leads on to question two. How do we grow as servant leaders? And this is Galatians 5, verse 13 to 17. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, so this is for us, okay, we're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Basically, what this is saying is that we've got this constant battle towards kind of making sure we walk in faith, walk in the Spirit, but not be tempted by walking in what the world says, okay? Or what our old life was. When you give your life to Christ, you become a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Okay, we're a new life, a new creation. So the first place we grow, as I say, is that we walk day by day in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're totally new to church, or you're kind of exploring faith, you're not quite sure what that looks like, that might sound really odd, walking in the Spirit. It might sound a bit creepy, all right? But actually, what it means is walking is obviously an active word, so we do that day in, day out. And it requires us to keep moving and growing in relationship with our Heavenly Father. So when it says Spirit, it talks about the Holy Spirit. So Heavenly Father, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, it's all the same God. Okay? So it's important that we keep walking. So I've got a couple of examples. This is not an exhaustive list because I think if I was to ask you this morning to list qualities of a leader, I think we'd be here for a while, actually, with lots of different headings. All right. So actually, the first important thing as a leader to do is rest. Okay. I've seen over the years too many leaders burn out. All right. And I've been in that place before where you just get exhausted because you end up saying yes to every request. Okay. It's good that Hannah this morning is saying, actually, I'm off with the kids this week. All right. That's a heads up for us because obviously next week is going to be a complete rest looking after the children. But actually, the important thing is putting rest in place. Now, you might just say, well, Nathan, are you contradicting yourself? Because you're saying, don't look out, you know, you're talking about servant-hearted leadership, but then you're saying, find rest. Isn't that kind of looking a little bit in on yourself and getting a little bit selfish? No, because if we don't look after ourselves, then we can't look after others, okay? Now, I'm not talking about here, like, rest. That means I don't see anyone, speak to anyone, anything like that whatsoever, okay? I'm not saying that. It's making sure you put it in place on a regular basis. It's called self-care, okay? Did Jesus go and spend time on his own? He did. He removed himself from the crowds. And I think that's a really important thing. He didn't just go remove and just go and play on an Xbox or anything. He went and spent time with his Heavenly Father. All right. Find things that you enjoy resting. Okay. I often say this. I haven't done it a lot of it recently. I enjoy photography. Nature helps me rest because I take delight and it helps me worship God. Okay. That kind of is just an example. So that's kind of number one is rest. Number two is identify your strengths or giftings and begin to exercise them. Begin to use them, all right? But can I also say, please avoid going down that slippery route of saying my ministry, okay? I know it's easy to go around. I get it when people say, you know, this is the ministry I'm involved in. That's all okay. But when people say my ministry, they say it in a way that's unhealthy, okay? So I can think back a number of years ago, we had an evening service. A guy came along. It was the first time I ever met him. He told me he'd been on the island, obviously Guernsey. He'd been there for 2 years, and he couldn't find a church community that works for him because no church could serve his ministry. And everything in me just shuddered, all right? And I thought, this is somebody that I can't really work with because they are so shut off to the fact that my ministry is more important than the family, the community, of the church. Okay, just be careful with the language that we use, all right? Because actually what's really important is identify your strengths and your giftings and exercise them, which means you might be thinking, well, I haven't really used them yet. That's okay, but don't say that in 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time. Begin to ask others around you, I'm not quite sure this is something I want to be involved in. Well, begin to ask people around you. Ask the leadership of the church. Ask for prayer. Ask for counsel on actually how can I achieve this. It might be such a big thing that it's like I don't even know where to start. It might be a very, very small thing. But whatever it is, begin to exercise it. Use it. Okay? Everyone has a strength or attribute that can be used in some shape or form within the church community. Do we all agree with that? Yeah? Everyone has got a part to play. You know, Jesus talks about the body, everyone, different parts. You know, he talks about actually the different parts have got their own unique parts of the body. And for us as a church, we've got a unique way to play as part of the church. Okay. Number three. This is a big one for me. Patience. Yeah. I can be impatient. And I've had to learn over the years that actually I need to be more patient, all right? Patience, I think, is a bit of an art form, all right? I think it's something that we've got to constantly ask God to help us. Who here is impatient. Okay, there's quite a lot of us. Now, there can be a good thing within that, which is that you're hungry to see something happen quickly. All right? But that can very easily turn into frustration, anger, and it can start to have build this image about other people that may be going slower than us or not picking up on what we want to see happen as quick as us. That can start to have an impact on relationships. Okay? Ask God to help you to be more patient. I think in the life of the church, what can happen is sometimes with patience, it can start to cause a separation. Okay? So patience is something that we can ask more of from God. Okay? Number four, be a team player. It comes a little bit with what I just said about impatience. Being a team player, yes, it can be much, much quicker to get stuff done on your own compared to with having team around you. However, that will always be in the short term, all right? So I'll give you an example kind of to link in. I work for a drug and alcohol recovery service, okay? And sometimes I just sit face-to-face with someone that is maybe using cocaine or is dependent on alcohol, whatever it is, and we're in conversation and I will say, actually, drugs work, don't they? Okay? I do carry on the conversation in a moment with that, so don't worry. But drugs work. Because they give some kind of feeling, some kind of experience. It takes them into another place, okay? But it is always in the short term because the drug wears off and it brings them back into the place where actually maybe they've been trying to run away from or hide away from, okay? Cocaine drops off and they might be thinking, actually, I feel worse than I did before. That's just an example of the fact that in the short term, there might be gain. There might be a win. It might work. The long term, and when we come back to the life of the church and we talk about leadership, if you try and do things on your own and not part of a team, then that thing will fade away, whatever you're involved with. Okay? So in leadership, whatever you might be involved in, we need leaders in this church that want to be part of a team. Okay? It's part of what the membership of what Hannah was sharing. It's not going to be one person leading the church. She's talking about a team. Okay? It's really, really important, being a team player. Number five, as a leader, mistakes can happen, okay? Mistakes can happen. Other people make mistakes. We need to help them learn and grow, okay? I've been involved in leadership in life of a church where somebody I was that was a leader of the church would kind of say mistakes aren't good, and at the end of the day mistakes aren't good, but they'd put it against that person and bring that person down. And I think actually one of the ways we learn in life is by making mistakes. Okay, the important thing is as leaders is how do we help pick them back up again. All right, I think where it gets unhealthy is if someone's making the same mistakes because there's something not right there. All right. But as leaders, and you can say this in your own household, you can say this in your workplace, how do we react when someone around us makes a mistake? Do we criticize and put them down and say, well, I'm never going to put trust in you to do that again? Or do we say, hey, okay, let's reflect on this. What happened? What did you learn from it? How can I help you to pick you back up and let's go again? All right? This happens. Don't worry about it. If you think about people around you, what kind of leader would you want around you when you make a mistake? Okay, I definitely know which one I would want. Number six, invite others that are godly and mature and wise to get alongside you to help you grow. I mean, just look at the person next to you right now and just look at how godly and wise they are. All right? No one's looking at me. All right, okay. But we want to make sure that actually people are being encouraged and built up. Sometimes we have a little bit of a roadblock and we're not quite sure how to move forward. Well, a good way is to be discipled, is to have others around you. Invite them into your life and say, can we meet up on a regular basis? Or can we just even I'd appreciate you're really, really busy with X, Y, Z, but can we just keep in touch? Whatever that looks like is to get others around you. People that live a very, very kind of a life away from others, that's very hard to help build them up, okay? Being vulnerable is a really difficult place to be. But that requires trust, and it has to start somewhere. So walk alongside with people and invite them in and say, can you help me in my life? Okay. And number seven, most importantly, walk in the Spirit each and every day of our lives. We do this by spending time with Jesus, and we can do that either in prayer, reading or listening to his word, the Bible, listen and singing along to worship songs, whatever that helps you to get into a place of just enjoying being in the presence of Jesus. By walking in the Spirit each and every day of our lives, all right, it helps us to remove the temptation of looking in on ourselves and just thinking we're more important than others. All right, it's important that actually when we worship God, that as we do that, it opens our hearts and gets us to make sure we're looking to the right place, to look to others and how we help them and lead them, okay? As I said before, Jesus removed himself from the crowds to be on his own with his Father. Why? Because leading others is exhausting. Leading others is tiring. Is that right with children? Yeah? It is. It's exhausting. So the important thing is to avoid getting burnt out and not having the energy to help others grow. Okay, we can burn out. And the important thing for us is to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And we do that walking day by day with him. Chris and Brooke, do you want to just come back up? I'd just like us just to respond. As I say, there will be many, many more that we could sit through and come with kind of things about leaders serving well. What are the qualities? There is loads and loads. But can I just invite you just to stand if you're able to? Because what I want us to do in these few minutes we've got before we finish this morning, I was thinking, like, how do I land this morning? And sometimes I just leave it deliberately empty until maybe I come in here this morning. As I just kind of just went over it this morning, all I wrote down here is, shall we just simply wait on God? And as we do that, and maybe if Chris did some strumming or whatever with his guitar, is maybe just have these things. As we wait on God, what is God saying to you at this moment in your life? And have you been getting nudges from God recently to consider stepping up and growing in leadership and serving well? So we're going to wait on God. That first one, what is God saying to you at this moment in your life? And has he been nudging you recently to consider stepping up and growing in leadership and serving well? So Heavenly Father, I just thank you, first off, that you are the one that we look to. We honor your wonderful name, the fact that you paid the ultimate price so that we could come to know you, that you are the one that demonstrates what it is to serve others. So Holy Spirit, I just pray. We already know your presence is already here this morning. But we just want to experience more of you. We just want to hear your voice speaking into each one of us. And I just pray, just come and just speak into lives about what is it you're saying to each individual in this place today.